In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen. Glory be
praise.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this day, you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this Pentecost Sunday is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower in its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be despised over the earth of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. With the heart one believes and is justified. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own language, Parthenians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claims on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe.
grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in our gospel lesson for today, the book of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29, but particularly these words: "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." This is our text. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Christian friend, given our text for today, it would be very easy to launch into a sermon about how important it is that we love Jesus. And the text starts out, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So the outline of that sermon would go something like this: 1, we love Jesus; 2, obey his teachings; and 3, God will be with you and bless you. And the ushers will pass out "Honk if you love Jesus" bumper stickers as we go out the back door today. But wait a minute, you would say. That's not Lutheran. What happened to grace alone? And you would be absolutely right. That outline that I just gave to you is straight out of the Joel Osteen school of sermonology. The problem with that outline is that it tells us that God's blessings come to us because we first loved him. God's grace and love for us comes first. That's what the Bible teaches. The problem with that outline says that God's blessings come because we come first, but the Bible teaches we love him because he first loved us. God's grace and God's love for us comes first, long before our love for him leads us to love him and leads us to obey his will. And Jesus makes that perfectly clear in our text for today, because he tells us just where our faith and our love for Jesus that we have for him will come from. Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That raises a question. Why? Why does the Holy Spirit have to remind us and teach us? The Holy Spirit has to do that because, by nature, our sinful human nature, we are blind, spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. Martin Luther, in his explanation of the third article to the Apostles' Creed, said, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. My sins get in the way. My selfishness gets in the way. My pride gets in the way. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, love Jesus as I ought to love Jesus. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, obey the teachings of Jesus the way I should obey the teachings of Jesus." If it relies on my doing, it will not get done. But there is hope. There is an answer to unbelief. There is an answer to disobedience. And that is the Comforter, whom God Himself sends to us. After Luther finished saying, "I can't do it," he tells us just how it can be done. He said, "But the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with His gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith." And he said, not just me. He says, even as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith. The Bible is perfectly clear. No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit work in us? Jesus said in our text, "The Counselor will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, when the disciples were gathered together in an upper room, and the sound of a mighty rushing wind came through. Small tongues of fire rested on their heads, and foreign languages that they had never spoken before were now their language and their tongue. Was the Spirit already in the world before that first Pentecost? Absolutely. We've already said, no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And there were many believers long before that first Pentecost Sunday. Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham, David, Isaiah, and the disciples, and Mary and Joseph, and many, many, many others listed in the Scriptures, all had faith in God's promises of a Messiah. All believed that God would send a Savior from sin. All had the gift of the Holy Spirit before that first Pentecost. So then, what was Pentecost? It was a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told His disciples to wait until they received power from on high. They were to wait for the power to come to them. This band of frightened followers, who on Monday, Thursday had forsaken Him and fled, this band of frightened followers who on Easter morning were hiding behind closed doors for the fear of the Jews, indeed, they needed this power from on high. They needed the Holy Spirit to obey what Jesus had told them to do. They were to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the earth. That first Pentecost day, they left their locked doors. They left their upstairs room. They went out into the streets and they proclaimed the marvelous works of God to all who would listen. These disciples needed the strength and the power that was given to them by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to obey Christ's teaching. What about you and me? Do we need the Spirit's power to live and to love Christ and to obey His teaching? Absolutely. But you and I do not have tongues of fire sitting on top of our heads. And although I do hear a little bit of German spoken in the back narthexes of many of our Lutheran churches, it's not an unknown tongue here in Texas. So that's not a new language. So how does the Holy Spirit come to us? How does the Holy Spirit create faith? How does the Holy Spirit sanctify and keep us in that one true faith? As our text says, the Holy Spirit teaches us all things and reminds us of everything Jesus said to us. Today, the Holy Spirit works through the means of grace, through word and sacrament. As we repeat the scripture in our liturgy, as we sing the scriptures in our hymns, as we read the scriptures in our lessons, as we study the scriptures in our sermons, God the Holy Spirit is calling us by the gospel, enlightening us with his gifts, sanctifying and keeping us in the one true faith. In the worship service, through the word, the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything which Jesus taught his disciples, and you, and me. And the Holy Spirit makes it even more personal as God calls us by name and washes away our sins in the waters of holy baptism. And again, in, with, and under that bread and wine of Holy Communion, we receive the very body and blood of Christ, and given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sin. The Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace, through word and sacrament, makes it possible for us to love him who first loved us. And the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace, gives us the strength and the courage to obey Christ's teaching. Our love for Christ, our obeying his commands, is nothing more than God's grace working in us and through us by a God-given faith alone, which is ours in Christ Jesus alone. And that faith and that love gives us a peace which the world does not understand. Jesus said in our text, "My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The person who trusts his own love for Jesus will always wonder, "Do I love him enough?" The person who trusts in his own obedience to Jesus, in his keeping of those commandments and God's will always wonder, did I obey him enough? Did I do everything, or at least enough of what he wanted, to get by and to get to heaven? There will be no peace, only a fear of judgment, because they did not love Jesus deep enough, and they did not do enough of his will. But because our love and because our faith is based not on what we do, but on what God has done and still does for us, our hope is sure and certain. We have peace. We have nothing to fear. Through faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, we know our sins are forgiven. We know that we are children of God, and we know that our future is with God in his kingdom of heaven. And we know that is sure, and we know that is certain. No fear, just peace from God
which passes all understanding. To God alone be the glory, now and always. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create.
We pray. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Comfort us with the divine peace, and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, as you once chose apostles to proclaim the resurrection, we open the mouths of your pastors and people to declare his praises and to all who will hear. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, sustain those who are mocked for believing and confessing the truth of your word, that they may remain faithful to you. Lord, in your mercy, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have poured out your Spirit upon us that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of might, preserve your people from their enemies. Bring peace to the nations and prosper the cause of life. Bless our leaders, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Give them a relentless pursuit of just laws for the common good of all, and a heart of mercy for the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of compassion, forget not the sick and the suffering. Grant them healing according to your divine will and according to your good grace and mercy. Give them confidence that you know their need and will well supply them with all that they need to endure the day of your coming, when all affliction will end and you will grant the perfect consummation to us and to all who have loved your appearing. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of grace, your Son has come among us and given us the privilege of a place at his table. Prepare us to receive his body and blood with repentance and faith for your good, for our good, and for the flowering in our lives of your holiness and righteousness. Nourish and feed us that in this holy communion we may be strengthened for your service. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace for us by his death, obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this the whole world rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Oh. Given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Lord, now
oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
It's truly a blessing to be with you today. May you have a very blessed week. Are there any announcements or anything of that nature that need to be made?
No, we have no birthdays or anniversaries this week, and nothing special coming up unless Cheryl's got something.
I have something. I've had this for several weeks. Pastor Rod's brother-in-law, Jim, had forwarded some pictures to me that I was going to have developed, and within a few days, he said, no, I'm going to take them and put you Shutterfly and make you y'all a book for him to remember. And it's a wonderful book. It's got all kinds, it's got information of his whole life. It's got some, in the beginning, it starts with his boyhood. It goes all the way through confirmation, that's his confirmation class there, I think. Yep, that's it, everybody. And then it goes to his marriage and his ordination. And I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful book that Jim put together for us. And I'm going to put it on the table, the coffee table in the fellowship hall. When things happened with Mom a couple of months ago, I'd just gotten it, and then last week I was going to get it out, and I forgot. And so I put it in my room, and I remembered during service that it was in my classroom. So I told Mom, oh, no, I can't find it. And then I remembered I took it out, so I wouldn't take it home and forget it.
This is the only one? There are not multiple copies we can buy?
No. It's just something, it's a gift to the church.
Oh.
It's a gift to the church for us.
It's one of those one and onlys.
But it's something that you can love when you're here. You can look through it and have fond memories and everything. But I mean, if you didn't know it before, after reading this, you will know more about his life from the very beginning. So, but they wanted us to have a piece of his life that we could see. Yes.
And I wanted to mention his sister Carol and her husband Jim are coming on July 17th, it's a Friday. I'm pretty sure that's the day. There's still a bunch of boxes of books in pastor's office that they're going to pick up. If there's anybody available on that day that might want to help them load them, we'd appreciate it.
Peggy, update.
Peggy is doing well.
Yes.
Peggy had a TAVR, which is an aorta replacement, but she had it done. She had a TAVR, which is the less invasive one,
the
procedure.
Is that the one through the groin?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where they put it, but where they entered, but it's the less invasive one.
Right.
It's not where they have to split your chest open.
My mom had that.
Yeah. So anyway, she had that. She does not have a heart pacer. She was coming home with a monitor, but I don't know if she still has that or not. I've had emails from her. We've talked, but when she came home, she had a monitor just to see. But at the time, they didn't think she needed a pacemaker yet. So hopefully she will not need a pacemaker.
And
but she made it through well. Yes.
I have an announcement, too. Monday, remember a month or so ago, I got permission to have the community game day at our church. And so it will start this Monday from 1 to 4, and it will be every Monday in June. And then we'll go back to the Methodist Church in July. So if you like to play 42, and usually there's a table of chicken foot or whatever, please come. It's just games. 1 to 4, Monday, tomorrow.
Very good.
Larry, you
have
something? Nope.
Remind us.
It was a blessing to be with you this morning. Have a very blessed week.
Thank you.